Thank you for joining Army Medicine at Work, a podcast devoted to the innovative and sometimes surprising work of Army healthcare professionals. In each episode, we'll introduce you to an Army officer working on the front lines of research and medicine that has the potential to transform care for soldiers and others around the world. In this episode, we'll be talking with Colonel Stephen Thomas about the Army's critical role in drug and vaccine development. Colonel Thomas is an infectious disease physician by training and expert vaccinologist. He was essential in the Department of Defense's Ebola response, and most recently, he is tackling bringing the Zika virus vaccine candidate to product. Colonel Thomas, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Can you first tell us a little bit more about yourself? Why did you choose to become a research physician, and where has your career taken you?
Certainly. Well, it probably goes back to my time at undergraduate at Brown University, where I was an ROTC scholarship recipient, an Army ROTC scholarship recipient. And when I was applying to medical schools, I was looking at different pathways that I could take, and the Army had a health profession scholarship program. And so I applied for the HPSP scholarship, and I was able to accept that scholarship. Once I completed medical school, I was able to join the internal medicine training program at Walter Reed. And then I met a number of mentors, people who continue to be my mentors today, and they encouraged me to pursue a career in infectious diseases. And so I entered the infectious diseases training program. And it was during that program that I started to understand that medicine was not only taking care of patients, but there was also the preventative side, the making of vaccines. And so I became very interested in vaccinology and was fortunate that the Army has a very robust research and development program. And so I was able to join the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research after I finished my fellowship. And I've been at the RARE for 14 years, six of which I was able to spend living in Southeast Asia over in Bangkok, Thailand, and eight of which I've been able to spend here at Silver Spring.
What is RARE's role in Army medicine?
The RARE's primary mission is to support Army readiness. The Army is called upon to do any mission, any place, at any time, and it is our job to ensure that the Army is prepared and healthy and ready to do that mission. The RARE has been around since 1893, so just about 123 years. Our namesake, Walter Reed, was the physician who discovered that or proved that yellow fever was transmitted by a mosquito. And our focus is not only on domestic threats, but really on threats that they may encounter when they go abroad to deploy for certain missions. And so the RARE is very much an expeditionary research and development organization, much like Walter Reed himself was when he went down to Cuba. We're a global organization, so we have over 2,000 employees on four different continents, and we have had some of these outposts for over half a century in places like Africa and Thailand and our most recent lab, which is just outside of Tbilisi, Georgia. And our job is to make medical countermeasures, either to eliminate or to mitigate the risks that infectious diseases pose to our troops or the risks that brain health issues and brain injury issues may pose for our troops. And so we have excellent professional scientists and science support personnel who bring a vast and diverse set of capabilities to the table to help us achieve that mission.
So you mentioned that RARE is part of a global network of capabilities and capacities that really allows you to pivot depending on emerging threats. And today that threat is Zika. So can you tell us a little bit more about your work in that area?
Sure. So I think actually the story does start with one of the overseas laboratories. And so the laboratory in Bangkok, Thailand, it's the Armed Forces Research Institute of Medical Sciences. That's the lab that I was able to serve at for up to 6 years. A couple of years ago, we started to see febrile illnesses in people in Thailand and in the Philippines that initially looked like dengue. But when we tested them for dengue, the tests were coming up negative. So we thought, well, maybe this is chikungunya. It's not dengue, but it's something like dengue. So we tested them against chikungunya. And again, the test results came up negative. So we started to think of other viruses that are transmitted in similar ways, and we developed some tests for Zika, and when we tested these people, the test came up positive. So it was at that point in time that we started to anticipate that Zika may pose a potential risk to our deploying troops. And we had the experience of watching what dengue did moving from Southeast Asia over to Central and South America, and we had the recent experience of watching chikungunya do the same thing. So we started to anticipate risk. So at the end of 2015, we started to assemble different folks within the organization, basic scientists, people who do animal science, our vaccine production experts, and we put the team together. We engaged our leadership. We said we thought that this was important. We were provided some resources, and we devised a plan. And fortunately, this plan, we've been doing flaviviruses for over 100 years, and so we had done this sort of work before. We had done this with Japanese encephalitis. We've been doing this with dengue since Dr. Sabin was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. And so it just made sense that we could apply the same playbook, if you will, to Zika.
So more than a dozen other academic or government labs are also working on a Zika virus vaccine. So what's different about what your team is doing?
Well, what I think puts the Army and what I think puts the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research in a position to be successful, not only in the Zika vaccine development endeavor, but similar endeavors, is one, our global reach. Again, for over half a century, we have had laboratory platforms and clinical research platforms in places that these diseases circulate. And we have had the benefit of working with host nations and their scientists and their physicians to truly understand the nuances of these viruses, which of course helps us to understand how to make countermeasures against them. And as I mentioned already, for the last couple of years, we've been doing biosurveillance for Zika and Zika-like viruses. And because of that, we were able to acquire some Zika viruses from Southeast Asia and begin work very early. I think the second thing that puts us in a position for success is that we have a number of capabilities in-house that lots of other groups don't have. So we have the ability to do basic science. We have the ability to do biosurveillance overseas. We have the ability to do animal science. We have our own vaccine production facility, which not many places have. We have people who have worked in this production facility like Dr. Eccles for numerous decades. And that experience cannot be bought. It must be learned. It must be experienced. And then we have the ability to do our own clinical trials here. So you can see the picture that I'm painting is that we can be a one-stop shop and we can go from threat identification to conceptualization of a potential solution to that threat and then bringing it all the way through early human testing. And then I think one of the other components is that we have an extensive collaborative network, not only with other U.S. government agencies, other Department of Defense agencies, but also academia and corporate partners. And as a result, we have been able to bring a number of drugs and a number of vaccines and even diagnostic tests to licensure because of how we approach, you know, not only the science, but also how we approach the organizational and business activities of doing these explorations.
So some of the partnerships that you mentioned with industry and stuff, does that help facilitate you bringing something to market more quickly?
It does. We, because of what our mission is and our size and the resources that we are provided to execute that mission, we are really on the upstream portion. So the identification of a threat, the thinking up of prototypes, making those prototypes, doing the animal studies, doing the early production at small scale, and then doing the small scale human trials, that's our sweet spot. That's where we are very good and we can move very fast. We do not have the resources or the scope, and it's really not within our mission set to do the very, very large production, the very, very large trials. These are activities that require huge facilities and that require hundreds of millions of dollars. And so what we've decided to do and the way we approach the process is we do the high risk upstream, smaller scale, demonstrate that there is the potential for a particular drug or vaccine candidate, and then work with corporate partners who are used to doing the downstream advanced development, advanced manufacturing. They are used to bringing these products through the licensing process and then used to doing the commercialization. And so far, it's worked very well.
So what's next when it comes to your Zika research?
Well, to date, we have shown that the vaccine can be produced at a small scale, that vaccine is safe and protective in mice, that vaccine appears safe and protective in monkeys. And so the next step would be to demonstrate that vaccine is safe when tested in a small number of people. And if that is the case, which we are optimistic that it is, then we will work with our corporate partner and other U.S. government agencies to make the downstream plans, the advanced development plans, to be able to scale up the production of the vaccine from thousands of doses to millions of doses, and then to try to design the studies that we will need to demonstrate that, in fact, the vaccine is safe and that the recipient will derive benefit from getting the vaccine. But Zika is only one threat that we are hearing a lot about. There continue to be threats that have existed for a long time that we have legacy programs and continue to work on, things like malaria and dengue and chikungunya and HIV and very drug-resistant bacterial infections that cause horrible wounds in our Army personnel who have been wounded in the line of duty. So we have legacy programs. And then again, there's always the future risk. There's a lot of infectious diseases out there that we track that they haven't gained the momentum that Zika has yet, but they potentially could. And when you can get on a plane anywhere on the planet and be in Washington, D.C., or Miami, or Boston in a matter of 24 hours, really, there is no problem overseas that doesn't have the potential to become a domestic problem. So there's plenty for us to work on.
Well, it sounds like you've really had an interesting career. Is your pathway something that you'd recommend for medical students?
Absolutely. 100%. My career has been incredibly interesting and incredibly fulfilling for a number of reasons. As an infectious diseases physician and specifically a research physician, I can think of no better organization to work for than the Army. The infectious diseases are global, and the Army and the RARE are global enterprises. And so you will be able to go to where the diseases are and to study them up close and impersonal and be on the front lines, if you will. The second is that the legacy and the history of this organization and their work in infectious diseases, I don't know of any other organization that's been doing this for over 100 years. And there are a number of people here that are giants in the field. And so you're learning from the best. And then the last is that, again, because this organization has so many inherent capabilities within its structure, you really get to see not just one component of the process, but you get to see and learn and participate in multiple different components of the research and development process. And it really broadens your horizons. I think it makes you a better physician, it makes you a better researcher, and it really changes your whole perspective on how to make products that can protect people.
All right, Colonel Thomas, thank you so much for being our guest today and sharing the important work you're doing at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for future Army Medicine at Work podcast episodes about how the U.S. Army is pushing the envelope in healthcare innovation. For more information about Army healthcare careers, visit healthcare.goarmy.com.